In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord God said through the prophet Isaiah, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow." This is what God has called his Christians to do, his children, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Though our sins were like crimson, though they were like scarlet, they are washed in his blood and by his blood are made white like a lamb. He takes our insufficiencies. He takes our sins, our iniquities, our stains, our disgustingness. And in its place, he gives us his perfection, his holiness, his righteousness, and his forgiveness. So, dear child of God, you have not earned this. You do not actually wash yourself. Rather, he is the one that washed you. Many of us do not remember that exact moment, but some of you do. Some of you have to be recalled it on your baptismal anniversary, your baptismal birthday. Perhaps you light that candle and gather around the table to remember and rejoice that you are one of God's children. Perhaps you look at pictures from when you were only a few weeks old or a few days old. Perhaps you do remember it. Perhaps you were older. Perhaps it was recently. Thanks be to God, regardless of when it was, because baptism is his washing. It is his doing. That baptism, that white garment that is received, is the robe of Christ's righteousness. We see it in baptism, and we see it again placed over that casket, placed over that body, that we would remember that this person is a child of God, adopted in the waters of holy baptism, and that Christ's robe of righteousness covers that body one final time before it is laid to rest. Our sins are so disgusting that we shy away from even uttering them. But sadly, the devil has convinced us to shy away from uttering them to our perfect Lord. The devil has convinced us to shy away from meeting with the pastor and confessing out loud the sins that weigh on our hearts and on our conscience. The devil convinces us there's no way God could forgive you of that. But remember that that is the devil. Our Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It is not the pastor that does these things. It is God that borrows the pastor. His ears become a tomb, and when he pronounces the words of holy absolution with his hand resting upon you, it is Christ's words, not his. When I, as your pastor, pronounce to you, "I forgive you of all of your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit," before that, I have already asked you, do you believe that my forgiveness is God's forgiveness? And you confess, "Yes." And I pronounce to you, "Let it be done for you as you believe." Yes, it does not make sense how a fellow sinner can stand before you, lay his hand on you, and pronounce God's absolution. It does not make sense, and yet we see it in the scriptures. We see in John 20, after our Lord rose from the dead, a death that he died for sinners like you and your pastor. And he meets with his disciples. First with the 10, then with the 11. And the Lord Jesus breathes on his disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained or withheld." This is not because I've earned a right or ability to pronounce God's absolution. It is because this church has laid upon me the work of the office of the keys, to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from those who refuse to repent, who would rather live in their sins than live in a repentant, confession, and forgiven life. I would encourage you all to take advantage of the office of the keys, to take advantage of the forgiveness won in Jesus Christ, to go to him every single day in prayer, to pray for the forgiveness of sins just as you forgive those who trespass against you. And when the devil has convinced you that there is something that God cannot forgive you for, come here. I will gladly talk to you through it, and I will gladly remind you that the devil is wrong and that Jesus Christ died for your sins, even that sin. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, dear child, you are forgiven. You are justified not because you earned it, not because you paid the debt, but because Jesus Christ paid your debt for you. Because the blood of Christ is our atoning sacrifice. He justifies us in this act. And now, being justified, let us reason together. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. The Spirit desires to do the Father's will. Your flesh desires to do whatever you want. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, but make sure that you are following God, the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, the great I Am. Follow him. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. The church has traditionally done these things. It has sought not after our own desires, but it looks to the scriptures to say, what does God desire for me? If God says that something is sinful, it does not matter how I or you feel about it. It is sinful. We rebuke it. If God says to live in a certain way, then it does not matter how I or you feel about it. We are called to walk in his ways. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor. Will you do this perfectly, this side of glory? No, you won't, nor will I. But should you strive to? Absolutely. Knowing that when you fail, your Father has forgiven you for the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son. Defend the fatherless. The church used to create orphanages. It would make sure that fatherless children were still provided for. The church would also plead for the widow. The church would make sure that the widows among it were cared for. This does not have to be done with. Yes, the government has sidestepped the church and taken what used to be charity, that is, from the heart, for your neighbor, the woman that you could see, the woman that you worshiped with during your life, those children whose father died in the faith, whose father maybe was your carpenter at one time. The church cared for these people, and they did it out of charity. You give from your heart these alms, Now, of course, the government makes it compulsory. We will continue to tax you until all of these things are taken care of, but I don't know if you've noticed, taxes go up and things still aren't taken care of. There are still widows. There are still orphans. The climate still changes. They're called seasons. Maybe the church should return to these things. Maybe she should refocus her energy on them, and we, of course, do that. If you want to give of your time, of yourself, to help the widows in our congregation, there is a list for that, and some of you are already on that list. Some of you do get calls to help those in need from among our congregation. And for those without fathers living, how can we help? If you are young, how can we help? Thanks be to God for godly fathers, ones who strive not for their own sinful desires, but rather for the desires that the Lord would have of them. Our Lord has provided everything, and He richly provides His bride, the church. May the church, may she step up and do the will of her bridegroom. In the name of Jesus, amen.